the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you tonight?
James, we just spent some time making sure our microphones were working. Took a little bit, so I'm good. Rough game last night, man. Rough game.
Yeah.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, having a little bit more of a difficult time being optimistic right now. Not gonna lie.
It's a little rougher than we expected it to be, but I don't know.
We got spoiled. We got spoiled by a really good start to the season.
We did. We got spoiled by a couple of different things.
I mean, early in the year, we had a run game. Now we don't know what a running back is.
No. We also knew how to throw the ball downfield without forcing interceptions.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a weird turnaround on the year.
There's a lot going wrong right now.
Yeah. But I'm going to remain optimistic for the future of this season, depending on what happens. But we will. Well, let me clarify. Obviously, depending on what happens. But depending on what happens next week specifically. So let's move forward with Steelers by the Lake news.
Yes.
New Podbean follower.
That's right.
Rupa Dupa was the name that followed us. I believe it might have been the guy we shouted out last week at the end of the podcast talking about his comment on the one of the Steelers' Facebook posts. So thanks for the follow. We appreciate that. We also got new Facebook likes.
That's right, a bunch of them. First off, Darren Pirtle, Ron Heritage, James Fitch, Vandy William, and Charlie Jr. Simmons. Appreciate all the likes, folks.
Absolutely. We also got a new Twitter follower by the name of Not Steelers Fan. So by the looks of it, though, he is a Steelers fan. We'll have to see what happens there. I don't know. Maybe he's transitioning. I don't know.
Like it either way, you know. All these new people, hopefully some of you give us some feedback here. We're really looking to hear from you folks. If you have any likes that we do, or even just some general ideas of something that you'd like us to cover on an upcoming episode, we're always open to some constructive criticism.
Absolutely. Even if it's something you want us to stop doing, let us know. Like, we want to know what will make us more intriguing for your listening.
If we're annoying the crap out of you with something,
let us know. Big news, though, before the week, before the game, Connor clears COVID protocol.
Woo-hoo.
That was awesome. We kind of expected that, but it was really nice to see. And it was nice to see him play again. We also had defensive end signing, which you believe we're going to use more of outside linebacker.
Yeah, so Cassius Marsh is the gentleman's name. He played for the Colts, was on their practice squad this year. He is 6'4", 254 pounds, so in the Steelers scheme, he will be an outside linebacker, not a defensive end. But this is an addition that they needed to make once Bud Dupree was lost for the season. So he'll be competing with Ola Adeney and Jayron Elliott for snaps at the reserve outside linebacker position. I would say based off his frame, look for him to get a lot of play on special teams too.
Yeah, definitely to see that.
We got to get Alex Highsmith off special teams, man.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
He's still playing on punt coverage unit. You got to get him off there. He's going to be your starting outside linebacker the rest of the year now.
Yep. UG3 began practice to rehab from IR on Wednesday. That was awesome news
as
we are a fan. We are fan favorites of UG3, so we love him. You also got to see Vince William go on the COVID list on Thursday, which was not fun to see.
No, this was the opposite of what you would like to see.
That was the third middle linebacker we're down prior to the game, so that was not fun.
Yeah, it really with Avery Williamson having only been on the team a few weeks now, really makes it difficult to predict what you're going to get from this.
Yeah. Chase Claypool and Chris Wormley both missed practice with illnesses on Thursday.
That makes you nervous. You always think COVID when you see that. But
both of them played. Both of them cleared.
Negative. Yep. Both of them practiced the next day. So lucked out there. And speaking of COVID, Marquise Pouncey got off that COVID list back to being able to play.
That was phenomenal news, as we know that he is not only a great pass blocker, but a phenomenal run blocker as well.
Yeah, got to have him, man. You absolutely got to. With the run struggles this team has had thus far recently, you've got to have your best players out there, and Pouncey's one of them. Robert Spillane moved to the injured reserve, unfortunately, but that did leave room for UG3 to come off of it. So those first practices must have gone real well because he was ready to go.
Yep, and then the last thing was Tigray Scales was elevated to active roster, game day roster, as he was the 54th man up. But we also have some interesting news about some preseason predictions of ours.
Yeah, listen, so once in a while we're right.
Once in a while.
And I'm definitely going to brag about it when we are, because it's just, I obsess about this. That's what I hope makes me good at this. But when we were talking about this team previous to the season starting, we had some concerns about depth at specific positions. So I went and found my old notes. I wanted to find proof, Cody. I wanted to find it. And there it is.
You found it.
I found it. Our four positions that we had listed as positions of concern of the depth. Number one was middle linebacker. Here we are sitting 4 weeks away from the end of the season and running real thin based off of injuries. And that was the concern. If some people went down due to injuries, what were you going to be dealing with? Now we're seeing it. We got a guy starting that was a member of the Jets most of this season. So that's a concern. The other guy getting most of the playing time has played safety his entire career until this year. And didn't have any preseason games to get going on it.
Nope.
Number two, depth at offensive tackle. We see Zach Banner go out with an ACL week one. Now you got Chukwuma Okorafor as your starting right tackle, and a pretty good drop off after him going to your next backup, which is going to be Gerald Hawkins. In this game, we did see Chukwuma Okorafor get injured.
Yep.
In previous games, we've seen him go down, and they actually moved guard Matt Filer back over to tackle. That's concerning. There's not enough depth going on there. Next one, safety. What we saw right at the very beginning of the season, Pittsburgh did not like their depth. They went and signed Sean Davis right back to the team, right?
Yep. And so, thankfully, we haven't seen injuries there.
Yeah.
But the depth there was an initial concern for us, and they adjusted for it right away. Absolutely.
And then the last one I had might have been me just being a little bit of a wise guy, but I had a long snapper down there because they didn't have two.
Yeah.
And in the preseason, you almost always have two. Well, as the season went on, you started seeing teams having issues with not being able to get replacement players in time due to someone contracting COVID or getting in that situation. So they did actually bring on a backup long snapper who is currently on the roster.
Yep.
On the practice squad, I should say. So you can bring him up on game day if you need to. That was the four positions, and Pittsburgh addressed all of them.
Absolutely. So prior to the game, we have our inactives list. Josh Dobbs. No
surprise.
No surprise there. Joe Hayden.
The concussion.
Yep. Kevin Radar.
No surprise.
Isaiah Bugs.
Yeah.
Sad
I
to
wish
see.
That he didn't fall out of favor. I feel like he's better than what we're getting out of Wormley. But
I agree. Derwin Gray, offensive line, and Anthony McFarland Jr., the rookie running back out of Maryland.
That's going to be the last game that Derwin Gray misses this year. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, 100%. They're gonna probably dress like 12 linemen. I don't know what the heck to do now. It was a rough game as far as injuries was concerned, but we'll get to that after the game. As always, starting with Ben.
Yeah. I think maybe Ben's worst game of the season so far.
I would probably agree. He's even had a couple bad ones where we managed to win. Mm-hmm. And this game really, really, really makes me wonder, does he still have some kind of issue going on with his elbow? Or, as James and I were discussing before, James said possibly the knee injury.
Yep, they've been talking about it in the media the last couple of weeks, Pittsburgh being concerned about Ben having a knee injury, a nagging knee injury going on. It makes you wonder, because if you're having some issues with pain in a knee, you're not going to have the strength to push off on it like you normally would, which will absolutely affect the velocity of the ball when you throw it.
Velocity and distance, and we've seen him underthrow a couple balls. In the beginning of the year, we were seeing him overthrow them. So, interesting there. Again, Ben ended with two interceptions.
Both of them ugly, honestly.
Very ugly.
The first one at the end of the first half where Pittsburgh's trying to drive.
And he telegraphed the play.
Expand on the lead. Then Ben throws it behind Juju, who's going on an out route, which you got to throw that ball to the sideline. Instead, it's behind him, makes it easy to be intercepted, and no one can get in the way to slow the guy down. He gets a pick six.
And I still disagree with the play call here. I understand they're just trying to move the sticks, get first downs, but I think we have to spread the field more. I honestly believe that our tight sets, that where they were triple set on that left side, I think those don't work for us anymore. I think we throw too short out of those plays. We need to spread guys out more, allow guys to get into some open space, and let them do what they do. We have a very talented wide receiver core, and we need to let them shine, and we're not allowing them to do so.
Yeah, I think the logical progression on this is let Ben use his pump fake. He's very good at it. Pump fake to the short guy on it and start going deep to some of those other guys in those bunch of formations.
Yeah, or even mid-range. Yeah. Maybe don't go deep, but at least spread the field.
10, 15 yards down the field, something. Something to get them to back off and give you a little bit of room. That'll actually open those short passes back up.
Yeah. Running
second
backs?
Interception. No, I want to talk, about that second one.
Okay.
So Ben's looking left. James Washington's on the right side of the field. And right off the line of the scrimmage, James Washington smokes his guy. Gets out in front of him by a couple of yards and is outrunning him easily. Ben doesn't see it until too late. Doesn't get a full step into the throw. Underthrows it, and because of it, it's intercepted.
Yeah. I will say that I believe I saw pass interference on the play.
Yeah,
was it horrible? No. But was it bad enough that on average it gets called? Absolutely. Again, we can't blame a loss like this on the refs. We can't blame it on anybody but ourselves.
And if Ben throws that ball correctly out in front of James Washington, the DB can't interfere with him because he's too far behind.
Yep.
So by throwing it poorly, it gave the DB the opportunity to make a play on the ball and honestly kind of use James Washington as a ladder. He kind of climbed him to go get that ball.
Yeah. So let's move on to running backs. I don't want to drag with Big Ben out too long. We got to see James Conner come back in.
Yep.
Not a whole lot. We didn't see him a ton.
No, 10 carries for 18 yards and had some ball security issues too.
Yeah, the best thing we saw out of him was his run block, or his pass block ability.
Which he's very good at.
That's the best thing we saw from him all day. We got to see Jalen Samuels in more than we would like him to be.
He got 46% of the offensive snaps.
That's
bad.
That's really bad. Because he's not even the second best running back on our team.
He's not the third best.
I wasn't gonna say that. Listen, he was the third best on the active roster.
Yeah,
for the game.
Yeah,
because
there
was
only three.
I would have really enjoyed to see more Benny Snell.
Now, real quick on Jalen Samuels. Early in the game, he had a play on the left side of the field. I think it was like a little check down or something. Defenders all around him, and instead of trying to go to get extra yards, he just dove for the dirt. It was
no one touched him at first.
Embarrassing. There was no contact. Nobody tripped him. Nobody pushed him. He just didn't want to get hit, so he dove for the dirt. I was livid when I watched this, and somebody must have lit him up on the sideline because the rest of the game he played very physical. So I will give the man credit. He took the easy way out on one play and played tough the rest of the way. But still struggled in pass pro.
Yeah.
Which is a problem that gets
massive
Ben hit
problem.
Way more than he should.
It was a reason for one of the sacks that I don't know how many sacks the defense had for the Bills, but it was one of the sacks that was caused because he couldn't find someone to block. But let's talk about a guy we like, Benny Snell.
Yeah, Benny got some opportunity in the game. I thought previously, a couple games ago, they threw to him out of the backfield a few times, and he looked really good doing it. But unfortunately, only had a few carries, held a good average, just not enough run plays in the game. He and Samuels were the only ones really moving the ball rushing, and a little bit of it was just due to situation, you know, where there's a little bit more room to work with because it's all spread out. So Benny, I felt, ran hard, did get some yards after contact. And fought for some first downs, which is what you want to see. We just got to get more production, period. These total performances of rushing less than 50 yards are just having way too often. So got to get some improvement on that. How about the tight ends this week?
Well, we saw Ebron. He only had one drop this week, so that was enjoyable to see only one. We got to see a little bit of Vance. Vance also had a drop on a dumb screen play that looked like it was never.
Yeah, I don't think they hit him for that, though.
That's impressive that they didn't then.
Yeah.
Because it was definitely a drop on his part. Well, I mean, it was a bad pass in general, but. Yeah.
It's just a bad decision to throw it to him, honestly. Was trying to set up a tight end screen. There was no blockers in front. There was a defender right in front of him. Just, I got to throw it into the dirt, and I think that's what Ben kind of did, was intentionally threw it away. But I felt like Ebron did present himself better this week. Only had that one drop, like you said, and it was a challenging catch. Was a low ball. He had a tough time securing it, but otherwise I felt like he was a little bit more effective and a little more consistent this week.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with the consistency that he had was much better than this week. Wide receivers.
Let's talk about the good first.
Juju.
Yep.
Juju ran hard. He ran over Tremaine Edmonds at one point.
that's a task, man. That's a big boy.
That's a massive individual. He obviously had a touchdown catch.
Yeah.
I think those are the big highlights from him. He played more consistently, for sure.
And way more yardage after the catch this week. So I felt like Pittsburgh did a better job of getting him the ball in open space and getting him the ball a little bit further down the field. Juju is a very exciting and electric player. I mean, he's not a 4-4 40 guy, but if you give him the ball with some open field, he's going to make some things happen. In his first 2 years, he had 97-yard touchdown catches. One in each of the first 2 years. Man, just get the guy the ball and let him go do some stuff. But you got to get him the ball in the open field, and he did a better job of that this week.
Yeah, we have so many receivers that can go deep, and we're sending them all 3 yards past the line of scrimmage. it's hurtful to watch. Chase Claypool had, I don't know, maybe one or two catches.
Yeah, nothing serious in his at all. And again, it's situational. You got to scheme him open. I think teams are paying a lot more attention to him now, so he's not catching people off guard with a number three or four corners on him anymore. When he's out there, they're sending somebody that's pretty good against him. So got to try to get him on some more seam routes and some stuff more vertical where he's on the run when he catches it with a little bit of space. James Washington had himself another real nice game.
He did. Unfortunately, the one pass that was deep to him, he got picked off. But James Washington is proving to be probably the number two or number three wide receiver on the team. With Deontay having another two drops that we got to see him mishandle yesterday. So
yeah, and that James Washington touchdown catch, it's 100% him, man. He set the corner up. He faked to the outside, kind of like a quick jab step, really, and then ran a seam route right between the safety and the corner. Ben hits him perfectly in stride, and it's an easy touchdown. One of the nicer throws from Ben all game. One of the nicer plays from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, three catches on six targets, only 29 yards, but a touchdown. And again, like you said, that was all him. We got to see Deontay Johnson, although he had those two drops early. He did have four catches for 40 yards, but that was all we really saw out of our wide receivers. We didn't see Ray McCloud get involved this week, but our guys that did get involved weren't as high productive as we expected. And you can say that's on Ben. You can say that's on them. I think it's on a lot of different things, including those two, but as well as play calling. I think, again, play calling was not up to par. We saw better passing in the first half because that's when we scored that touchdown to James Washington.
Yep.
And then after that, after the pick six, it just shut down. We just weren't throwing the ball the same again. So I don't know, again, if that was designed play calling that way, if that was Ben dealing with an injury, if that was, you know, any other X, Y, or Z excuse. But for some reason, we're not seeing us pass the ball effectively.
Yeah, and it's got to be more down the field. We're not necessarily calling for a bunch of Hail Marys and 40-yard bombs. We're looking for more of those 10 to 15-yard passes, even like the 7 to 12-yard stuff, man. You got to start seeing him stretch the field a little bit to open things up. Those underneath routes will open back up if you start throwing some more stuff down the field.
Absolutely. Offensive linemen, we obviously saw our depth get questioned this week. We had two offensive linemen go down with Okorafor having an injury this week and
Filer and Dotson. We had three.
Filer and Dotson, you're right. Dotson did come back out because then we got to see Hassenhauer come in.
Yeah. So first it started off with Filer in the first quarter. Unfortunately, it's pectoral injury. After the game, he's been moved to the injured reserve list.
It was more than likely a torn pec. As soon as he fell down trying to make a block, he reached right for his upper pec area to the outside of the shoulder. That's normally where they reach when it's a torn pec.
Yeah, and that's a bad sign. Now, this did give us the opportunity to see some Kevin Dotson in this game, which Kevin has played very well so far this year. He got a little bit of action, and then unfortunately he went down with a pectoral injury as well, which is just scary because realistically, Kevin Dotson is playing very well for a fourth-round draft pick, a rookie guard, right? But.
Big buts.
Behind him is not much on that offensive line on the interior, man. This is something we were worried about early in the year. And here it is. You know, I wonder if Pittsburgh will go out and try to reacquire Stefan Wisniewski if he's still available. Might not be a bad idea because otherwise you're looking at J.C. Hassenhauer, which is who played at left guard the rest of the way, and he's not a guard.
No, he's a center.
He's a center,
and only a center
guard. He's small for a center, man. He's real small for a guard. You're not going to be able to run behind him in future games. So I personally am hoping that we see either Stefan Wisniewski brought back, or maybe Derwin Gray gets some snaps in there at left guard. Something. Got to do something. Maybe even just Dotson's injury wasn't that bad.
And maybe I'm gonna make my offensive, my whole team real thing right now that I developed this idea, this concept after this game. We're clinched playoffs. I understand home field advantage is cool. Fans aren't allowed in the stadium. Home field advantage doesn't exist right now.
Yeah.
I would rather us bench all of our starters. Let's see if Mason Rudolph can actually lead anything to a victory, like pass the ball instead of just handing the ball off. I would rather see all of our backups come in and play right now since we're guaranteed a playoff spot and have our team get healthy. That's honestly what I hope happens. I don't even care if we lose to the Bengals because of it. I would rather us go into the playoffs healthy with a chance to upset somebody as a fifth, sixth seed than fight for this winning the division and getting a second seed where you still don't even get a first round bye or even a third seed or whatever.
Yeah.
Now I don't think it's worth it.
The only thing I would say in counter to that is my concern is that you need to have some momentum going into the playoffs. If you do bench your starters and then the backups just lay goose eggs and you lose out, don't expect to win in the playoffs.
That's fair. Then sit them next week against Cincinnati, give them an extra week, and then come back and play the Colts and Browns and whoop some butt.
Plus, not everybody is shut down. Like tonight, as we're recording pretty late in the evening here, we're seeing that there are fans in the stadium in Cleveland.
That's true.
So if you're playing all away games in the playoffs, you could still be home field advantage for other teams being a home field advantage. So I'd rather those games are in Pittsburgh and it's an empty stadium than they're in some other stadium and there's actual fans there cheering against Pittsburgh.
That is fair. I forget that it's just our governor that keeps shutting everything down.
I mean, he's not the only one, but he is definitely shutting it down.
Yeah. Let's go on defensive side, defensive line.
Yeah, let's start with superstar Cam Hayward, man.
Wow. He forced a pick early in the game, which was phenomenal to see. Applied so much pressure in the first half that they literally changed their entire offensive line scheme to double him the entire rest of the way.
Yeah, they pretty much had no choice because he was dominating so much. Kept on winning with just one arm. I mean, just very
It was impressive.
Impressive.
Very, very impressive.
And that's just kind of who Cam is at this stage in his career. He's a very dominant player. But good performance out of him. Didn't get the sacks that you're hoping to see. I'm sure Cam is disappointed by his own sack numbers. But when you watch him play, he's still playing at a very high level. So good to see from him. Tyson Alualu forced a fumble and registered a sack.
Yeah.
And by him doing so, that got Pittsburgh their 70th straight game with a sack recorded, which is an NFL record.
Yep, beating out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We have talked about getting sack records and everything. This was not the sack record I was originally thinking about when we talked about that last year. But that is a huge feat, a huge success to be marked up under the Pittsburgh Steelers and under the Mike Tomlin era, to be specific.
Yeah, absolutely. People are going to criticize him because they're starting to lose a couple games here. But give credit to the man where the credit is due. He threatened to bench his starting wide receiver and did so in the game.
Yeah, when you drop the ball twice after the coach said drop the ball or get replaced, you get replaced.
And he's got a habit of benching starting running backs when they fumble the ball, too. And I have a feeling that maybe that had something to do with Jalen Samuels getting so many carries this week because Connor did have issues with securing the ball.
Yeah, it makes total sense. You have to put guys in to play the game that aren't going to cost you turnovers and stuff. Let's go. Well, we also, I don't know. Do you want to talk about Wormley?
You know, Wormley didn't have a good game. I thought Tuitt was pretty much invisible. I didn't see him getting beat up, but he wasn't making plays. Henry Mondo got into the action a little bit and was actually penalized for roughing the passer. But when Chris Collinsworth, who absolutely hates the Steelers, says, hey, man, this is a clean hit. It wasn't late and it wasn't low. And then they bring in the rules analyst, and he agrees and says, I see nothing here to penalize. Well, Guess what? It was a clean play. Nice job, Henry. You got the pressure in on the quarterback, hit him in the waist, and then rolled away to make sure you didn't land on him as clean as can be. So I like that we're getting a little bit of pass rush out of Henry Mondo. It did force an incomplete pass on that play.
He will get praise for that in film study this week.
Absolutely, and he'll get playing time because of it too.
Yep.
There's a reason that Isaiah Bugs is sitting there inactive. Carlos Davis isn't even playing. And there's Henry Mondo in that rotation of the five guys playing on the D-line.
Yeah. Yeah, he's earned it, and he's going to continue to earn it. And you are loving every second of it.
I am, man. I always like a good underdog story, man. And that's what Henry Mondo is. Undrafted kid, a little undersized, and clearly is in better shape. He looks bigger and stronger this year than he was last year. And it's really neat to see him playing, at least making some plays on the field.
Yeah, playing in the shadows of those bigger players. Speaking of shadows, T.J. Watt playing in the shadow of his big brother. He's starting to come outside of that shadow if he hasn't already. But outside linebackers played well. I think T.J., although not getting to the quarterback, provided a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and a lot of good pressure and good pass rush moves from both T.J. and Alex Highsmith, really. But what they didn't get called for them was all the holding penalties. They got grabbed a lot in this game. Really should have been a few holding penalties. Again, you got to make sure that you don't leave it up to the referees. You got to make the plays on your own. But it's tough, too, when you're getting held so frequently, unfortunately.
Yeah, we saw, I think, just five or six that could have easily been called just watching the minimal highlights. So sad to see that happen. I think T.J. Watt will get more calls moving forward. Alex Highsmith, as you said, James, before the show, will get the calls once he starts getting a couple sacks and people start knowing who he is. Didn't see a whole lot of Ola this week.
No, he played a little bit, but not a ton. He was your number one backup at both outside linebacker positions. They did not play Jayron Elliott at all at outside linebacker on defense, and that's probably a good thing. He's a better special teamer than he is a defender at this stage in his career.
Absolutely.
Middle linebackers.
Interior linebackers. You got to see a lot of Marcus Allen.
Yeah.
Which was exciting to see.
Yeah, and I feel like Marcus made some plays. He's starting to get in the rhythm of actually being a linebacker. Avery Williamson played better than I thought, but still in pass defense looks lost a lot of times. He is pretty aggressive against the run. I did see him make some nice plays against the run. Led the team in tackles, so you got to give him credit for that. And then we finally got to see Ulysses Gilbert III play. And I felt like he played pretty doggone good for a guy that was only a few days removed from the injured reserve list.
Yeah, he had two tackles in the game, so not super involved, but he was also making plays when he could. And that's what matters.
And looking quick in a position where Avery Williamson, not known for his speed and agility out there, you need to have another guy that can fly around. You're getting a lot of good movement plays from Robert Spillane out there and then Devin Bush before that. So you do need to have one of those middle linebackers as a more athletic dude, and UG3 fits the bill on that.
100%. Let's go to corners.
Yes. Missed Joe Hayden dearly in this game.
Yeah, it was a noticeable difference for sure.
The biggest Jekyll and Hyde performance from Steven Nelson I've ever seen from a player. The first half, he was virtually locked down. In the second half, he got locked down from making any plays. Unfortunately, he was just getting beat left and right, slipping in the open field, and his guy was wide open and getting a touchdown. A rough second half for Steven Nelson. But honestly, his first half was very good. It was just a rough performance to watch it so up and down for him.
Yeah, we got to see a lot of Mike Hilton in this game. Mike Hilton is a playmaker.
Yeah.
Mike Hilton will be getting a big paycheck after this year.
From somebody.
Justifiably. Like, he's probably the best playmaker on our defense right now. That's consistent, yeah. I should say.
Yeah, he's up there, man. And that interception that he got in this game was a very good one. Just never took his eyes off the ball.
Yeah, he also got another tackle for loss this week.
Yeah.
Was phenomenal to see him get behind the line of scrimmage, especially how tiny he is and just how quick. He flies through open gaps and just makes tackles.
He hits people with everything he has every time, man.
He really does.
He doesn't just, like, try to tackle somebody by the ankles. He hits them with everything every time. And Cam Seton, I feel like he got robbed in this game. because they called this play a fumble and a fumble recovery for Cam Sutton. I didn't think that that tight end ever actually established possession of the ball, but it also never hit the ground. It should have been an interception.
Yeah.
It was a real nice play on Cam's part to get to the ball before it got to the ground. That way it really took all guesswork out of it. It didn't matter whether it was a fumble or a completed pass because it was Pittsburgh ball either way.
100%. And I bet you that's why they just didn't care to look at it.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what it was.
Didn't matter. It was their ball right there regardless. So good play by Cam on that one. I felt he was kind of up and down as well throughout the game. Didn't see him getting smoked on a regular, though. So I do think he did a little bit better than he did in the previous game.
Absolutely. We also got to see Justin Lane a little bit.
Yeah, he had a pass breakup.
Nice pass breakup in the end zone. So that was awesome to see. Safety-wise, Terrell Edmonds, nothing too crazy that I saw. The biggest thing that I would say is Minkah Fitzpatrick. You need to make tackles. You need to wrap up.
Yeah.
This is not the first time, not the second time, probably not even the third time we've seen this season, where he runs in, tries to make a big hit, and the people just bounce right off of him and keep running.
Yeah.
Not a good look for supposedly probably the best safety on our team. Well, easily the best safety on our team, but not a good look for him.
Yeah, and realistically, like, even if you're a 225-pound safety, you're throwing that shoulder in there, it's not necessarily going to guarantee that somebody goes down. Minkah's not that big. He's like 205, 209, something like that. You got to wrap up, man. And this is the NFL. These players are in this league because they survive contact and keep going. And you can't just take a chance of just lowering a shoulder and hoping they go to the ground. Got to wrap them up, man. He gave up easily an extra 30 yards on that play by not wrapping them up.
Yep. Boswell played well.
Yeah, yeah, he got one opportunity on an extra point, and he made it. Yeah,
absolutely. Jordan Berry, I think, had a decent game punting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Actually had a really decent game punting with a lot of punts going fairly deep and not providing a great opportunity for them to return them. Biggest thing I would say is we didn't see anything flashy from Ray Ray, and we saw actually some stupid plays from Ray Ray. I think that very first opening kickoff, he should have never taken out of the end zone. Just wasn't worth it, but I understand he's trying to make plays. We'll all just have to wait and see what happens. So,
yeah, just a poor decision. That opening kickoff was well into the end zone. He brings it out and barely gets to the 10 before getting annihilated by Tyler Matakevich, former Pittsburgh Steelers special teams ace. So, yeah, just rough on the decision-making. I feel like he's starting to struggle a little bit with deciding what to do when. I think he got a little bit too overly confident, and now you're starting to see him with a few mistakes in judgment. So hopefully he cleans that up this week because the guy does have a very large amount of potential. He's very good with open field making people miss. Real quick jitterbug dude, you know. So hopefully he can clean it up, get out of his own head, kind of like Deontay Johnson did, made the mistakes early. Get over it, start making plays later on in the game because Pittsburgh's going to need to start playing a lot better. I mean, you can still play mediocre football and beat the Bengals. The Bengals are not very good right now.
No.
But.
Especially with the loss of Joe Burrow.
You got the Colts and then the Browns after that. The Browns may have absolutely everything to play for. We are actually recording during the game. There's 4:21 left in the third quarter, and the Browns are down by 2 touchdowns. This is a big game for them right now. If they get beat by the Ravens, there's still 2 games back on Pittsburgh, which means if Pittsburgh can pull out 2 victories out of the last 3 games, they clinch the division.
Yeah, they clinch the division. They'll probably even clinch second place if they win 2 out of the 3. So we'll see what happens there. Let's move on to injuries after the game. We saw Matt Filer today actually go to IR. So yep. he's going to be probably, my guess would be done for the year, maybe come back for playoffs. I doubt it.
And we don't know how bad this injury is yet at this point, too, to be fair. So it's not necessarily a torn pectoral. He could have strained it badly. If that's the case, you could still get him back in the playoffs. Early in the season, we saw a similar injury to Stefan Wisniewski. He missed 4 or 5 weeks and was able to return from the injury. It's just at that time they felt like the other players on the roster were better players and had developed past what he was, so they moved on from him. If this is not a torn pec, you may still get him back this season. But it's at least significant enough that they felt that they would not be able to use him the next 3 weeks at the minimum, because that's how long you have to be out when you're placed on the injured reserve. So we'll know more as weeks advance here, but it is a good sign that Kevin Dotson was not placed on injured reserve. That does make it seem as though they feel that he will at least be ready within the next 2 weeks here. Otherwise, you might as well put him on and bring somebody else on the roster.
Yeah, because even the play that we saw him come out in, we didn't see anything that looked super bad injury-wise. So I have to wait and see what happens moving forward with our offensive line. And I would be shocked if we don't make a move in the next few days to get in some backup offensive linemen with how bad the injuries have been for us this year.
Yeah, so look for Derwin Gray to definitely dress next week, as he has experience at both guard and tackle, and they need that guard depth right now. Also, look for a move from the practice squad. I would not be surprised if they bring in a guard to the practice squad early this week to give them the flexibility of bringing them up on game day if need be for additional depth. We do have two offensive tackles on the practice squad right now, but no guards. So probably going to address that this week, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Let's do offensive defensive takeaways. What do you have for me for offensive?
Okay, offensive takeaways this week. We're going to start off with the good, and that's James Washington and Juju Smith-Schuster. Both had good games for Pittsburgh. Both got in the end zone. Reliable, catching the ball, getting yards after contact. If these two could just be duplicated among the other receivers right now, you'd be getting plenty of points on the board. So it's really nice to see some good games from both of those gentlemen. We asked for more James Washington on our takeaways last week. We got some more James Washington.
Absolutely.
So nice to see it. Second takeaway, prayers for Kevin Dotson, man. Hope for a speedy recovery, because if he doesn't miss any games, I really don't feel like there's much of a drop-off from him versus Filer, and he might actually be a better guard than Filer is. Third one is going to be, can Derwin Gray play left guard? If Dotson is not able to go, is Derwin Gray the next guy in there, or do they just go with J.C. Hasenauer? I'm scared if it's Hasenauer. I'm going to be honest.
I am too. I'm very scared if it's Hasenauer.
Derwin Gray is a big, strong man. If he's in there, I feel like he could do well at the guard position. I kind of want to see it. I would much rather have Dotson, don't get me wrong. But if not, I hope that they're able to play Derwin Gray there. And then my last one is just 100% a question. Who's coming up from the practice squad? You're going to have to do something with the offensive line, especially with Chukwuma Okorafor having an injury in the game as well. He was able to come back, but still, you're going to need to bring some bodies up. Also now with knowing that Matt Filer has been moved to the injured reserve, we've got to find out what's going on there.
Yeah. We also saw someone else get brought up to the 53-man roster.
Yeah, so Cassius Marsh, the defensive end slash outside linebacker that they signed earlier last week, has cleared all the COVID protocols without having been tested positive or anything like that. You just have to be negative test for 5 days straight in order to be able to move to the roster. So they were able to do that. That was the move that was the back end of the Matt Filer move.
Yeah, so defensively takeaways, there's not really any good here, if I'm being honest. I could say great things about Mike Hilton. That's just not in my top things of concerns for my takeaways. So number one is going to be inside linebacker depth. If we lose one more guy, there's no one else to give someone a break. You got Marcus Allen, Avery Williamson, and then you got UG3. That's it. I'm really curious what we're going to do with that, because we're literally at the bottom of the barrel as far as talent is concerned. I don't think Avery Williamson is that good. We saw him get beat time and time again last week and this week, just flat-footed on routes where he needs to be moving and preparing for which way the receiver or running back or tight end, whoever it is going to go, and he's just staying flat-footed and getting beat. Second big takeaway is, where are the safeties? We went from having two picks by two safeties in the same game to them making mistakes, just not being involved. Where are they? Biggest question. And then the third big takeaway, As much as this is going to sound like a positive, I promise you it's not. Sacks. You know, we have 70 in a row now, but we just played a team where we applied so much pressure throughout most of the game, and we only got one sack.
Yeah, and technically on the sack, they didn't even get him to the ground.
No, it was just a fumble. Thankfully, the ball was punched out, so it counted as a sack.
Yeah, my only thing on your takeaways, I am optimistic that we'll get Vince Williams back soon. I am also concerned about the depth there, don't get me wrong. But when Vince comes back, that definitely helps with the depth at the position since he was just put on the COVID list. There might even be a chance that we get him back this week. Also, rumor is that Joe Hayden should be ready for this week.
That's going to be really nice to see because hopefully we can get some more picks there or just even get more sacks with coverage sacks.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big part of it is having the quarterback be forced to hold the ball long enough to either get sacked or just throw it and make bad decisions. Joe Hayden will make you pay, man.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and look forward to next week against the Bengals. I'll go over injuries real quick first. This is mostly based off of last week as they haven't really updated their injuries moving forward. So obviously, AJ Green has been up and down with injuries all week. He rested a lot last week. He mostly didn't practice just because they wanted to give him some time off. We saw defensive tackle Xavier Williams have limited practice and full practice last week. He was kind of back and forth with a back injury. Safety with a groin injury, Brandon Wilson. T. Higgins had a hamstring injury that he was limited practice all week. So we'll see what happens moving forward there. They had an offensive guard, Alex Redmond, on concussion watch. And then Brandon Allen had a chest injury as well. So those are going to be the big ones. There's also a cornerback, Mackenzie Alexander. The biggest thing that isn't on here is the fact that they don't have Joe Burrow. That is 100% the biggest injury that will affect this game.
Yeah, and so Brandon Allen is the starting quarterback right now. And no, he is not a marquee player. So this is something Pittsburgh should be able to take advantage of. The rushing game, there is some good talent going on there with Giovanni Bernard, Samaje Perine, both some guys with some good pedigree going on there. Bernard has given Pittsburgh problems in the past, especially he's a very good receiver out of the backfield. So look for Pittsburgh to hopefully match up UG3 and Marcus Allen on him in coverage. Those are your best hopes there. Wide receivers, you've got T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green. Tyler Boyd's had a lot of big games against Pittsburgh as well. So that's definitely something to look for.
Yeah, he's leading their leagues right now, or he's leading their team in yards right now with 840 receiving yards as well.
Yeah. Tight end Drew Sample has been their go-to guy there, so he's not a bad tight end. Offensive line has been real up and down for them with Jonah Williams, former first-round pick, at the left tackle. Michael Jordan at guard, Trey Hopkins center, right guard Quentin Spain, and Bobby Hart at right tackle, which again is someone that we should see TJ Watt be able to beat. Defensive line is their strength, that and a little bit of secondary as well. Sam Hubbard and Carl Lawson, their pass rushers on the outside. Mike Daniels and Geno Atkins in the middle are some stout defensive linemen. So they will have to get creative to be successful rushing the ball. And the offensive tackles will need to be on their game because these guys will be after Ben all game long. Off-ball linebackers, you've got both Josh Bynes and Jermaine Pratt. Neither one of them is really touted as that high of a talent at their position. Secondary is another strong suit of this team. William Jackson III and Jesse Bates, also the third. Both known for being good ball hawks. Von Bell is the other safety. LaShawn Sims and Mackenzie Alexander, the other corners. So look for Pittsburgh to try to exploit that secondary. I just wouldn't throw William Jackson III and Jesse Bates III more than you have to. Go with the other guys if possible.
Yeah, so really excited to see us hopefully have a good game after two really rough ones.
Got
to
turn it around.
And Cincinnati is the best team to do that against this year, other than maybe the Jets. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But, again, we're going to stay positive throughout the year. We're not going to look too much at the bad.
Now, some future news here. We have actually been able to get a new setup going on here, and we are going to be doing some video episodes in the future. We will make sure to post on the Facebook page and on Twitter to give you guys a little heads up on that. But we got a YouTube channel set up now. So we're going to try and get some video options going on here. So you guys will actually be able to join in with us while we record, which typically, again, is on Monday nights after a Sunday game. So if it's a Monday night game, we record Tuesday typically. So we'll try to keep it consistent and stay on Monday nights for you folks. And that way you can jump in and ask us questions if you have any questions or just any comments. And we'd love to interact with you while doing the show live.
Absolutely. So thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.